This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talofa lover, and welcome to our Samoan listeners. And hey to everyone joining us today for Nijan Footy, the place where we shine a spotlight on our incredible Pacifica talent in the Rugby League and Rugby Union world. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is the big Cook Island Comet, Tinira Arona. See, the Comet.
Kia ora, Sammy. Yeah, the Comet. So,
it's your new club, is it?
After 15 plus years, I returned yesterday to represent the mighty St. Clair Comets in the A grade. It was our last trial before we start the season, so the wheels are still turning.
The old bull, the tractor.
Still, we won that game 78-0 with 10 it's minutes cricket. To go. Nothing to be proud of, but I did have some fun, you know, representing my old club. Always said I'll go back and play my last games for my junior footy club. It's always good to give back.
Yeah, the people's champ, well done.
But speaking of footy, over the weekend, huge upsets across the NRL, dominant performance, plenty of Nijan talent on display. And without Shelley today, we'll also cover...
No Shelley,
yes. Oh,
when did that happen?
I know, mate.
Just now?
No idea. But don't worry, listeners. We got you covered. We'll be covering the Women's National Championships that was held in the Gold Coast, and the Super W, as well as the Men's Super Rugby. And speaking of women's rugby, today's special guest we have on Nijan Footy is, drum roll please, Faitala Moleka.
Oh, Faitala Moleka, a young superstar, Wallaroos, yes, at the age of 18, currently plays with the Brumbies in the number 10 jersey for the Super W, and we're not letting her go to league. T, she's staying. They've already tried, and I know she's definitely staying. But let's rip into our show.
Moment of the week.
I thought our moment of the week over the weekend was the NRL multicultural round. It's a round where we see the NRL celebrate cultural diversity, and to be able to see a lot of our players and the game, you know, celebrate that cultural diversity.
So yeah, it was done so well. Like, from all the teams, it was evident all the clubs put time and effort into celebrating that round.
Yeah, it's definitely grown over the last few years. I know when I was playing in the NRL, probably, I don't even think they had a multicultural round, to be honest, but it's really cool to see. Like, we've seen a number of performances. One that stood out for me was the Cook Island performance at halftime at the Sydney Roosters, and their costumes matched the red, white and blue. We also seen Jared Wade Hargraves on his 300th game rock up with his...
That was a cool photo, eh?
The feathers, the coat, the traditional Māori chiefs that they wear. It was a custom-made one, red, white and blue as well. Anything caught your eye over the weekend, Sammy?
Well, I know a lot of teams and players are doing their Instagram photos as they walk in, and they were, you know, wearing the like cool kit, so to speak. But watching the Bulldogs walk in at Belmore Stadium, their home ground, the local ground, through their crowd, and seeing Stephen Crichton wear his Ilava-Lava, Tupenu in Tongan, his Toa Samoa one, and then other boys having the flags over their shoulders, just really representing where they're from, you know, hard tea, like just ready to go. And for me, that's what impacted their performance, or that's what, you know, really gave them energy for their performance and why they performed so well. So, yeah, I love seeing that footage all over socials.
I know we had Joey Ngalavau on speaking about the Penrith Panthers jersey, but that was special to see that representation of the Māori and the Pacifica patterns on that Penrith Panthers jersey and hearing the process that went behind it. That was pretty cool as well.
What's up, guys? Robert Liotta here from the Wallabies. Tuning in, listening to Nijan Footy. Less age.
Well, Sammy, we've got to get through some work here because there was a lot going on in the rugby league world. So I will start with the NRL. And a fun fact, all the home teams but one winning their games on the weekend.
Really?
So the Dragons lost to Cowboys. Cowboys being the only team in the competition who have won all three games after three rounds of NRL. But a couple teams that had their first win. I'll mention the Warriors in Christchurch down in South Island in New Zealand. They got the win. But these two that I want to talk about haven't had much success in the past or in the recent past. But they've gone home to their, what do they call it? That home, that stadium, that means a lot to that team.
Yeah, the iconic, the birthplace of both these teams, yep.
We're talking about the Bulldogs at Belmore beating the Titans 32-0 and the Tigers at Leichhardt Oval in Sydney. They call it the eighth wonder of the world, but they beat the informed Sharkies 32-6. So the Tigers, after this win, they've actually got their A4 papers out learning the team songs. This is how much it means to them, taking a bit of pressure off Benji Marshall as well as head coach there. But there was a lot of Nijan talent, like I said in my introduction, that really stood out. I want to name a few. So PNG star Justin Olam, he was unreal, really took it to the Sharks team. I thought Samoan and New South Wales origin player Stefano Utoikamanu, he really stood up in the middle as a prop, took some really tough carries. And then we also seen two Fijians for the Tigers stand out. Now the dream, Dream Buller, he scores two tries. And then I thought the man of the weekend, not only this game, but right across the weekend, was the general Aapi Kotosau. Now Aapi had 42 tackles in total. He ran over 100 metres as a hooker, and he had some really nice try assists. Two, to be exact.
And you've got another important stat. He also had wee bum throughout the week.
And almost missed the game.
Almost missed the game and delivers a performance like that. What a captain.
The first try, he comes out close to the try line, looks out the back, hits his teammate short. That bloke goes over the line. And the second try was unreal. I'll just let the audio explain it.
Karoyas out, goes himself from dummy half. Oh, slips straight through. Terrible defending from the Sharks. Karoyas out, gets in underneath, throws the ball left for Justin Olam on his West Tigers debut. Scores the try.
Well, I thought there was going to be a little bit of technical detail explaining that audio.
It just seemed like it was poor defense.
Poor defense, but he comes out, a bit of change of momentum, a bit of change of tempo, a bit of footwork, ducks underneath, and then sets up Justin Olam for a try. So he was unreal on the weekend. And we head over to Belmore, the home of the Bulldogs. They beat the Titans. Some bad news first. Samoan Tino Fa'asoomaliawi, he does his ACL in this game, and you know we'll miss him for the rest of this season.
So yeah, much love with your recovery and rehab.
All the best. I know it's a tough one, but I know he'll have the right team around him to get him through this journey. But one player that stood out, and another Fijian. I know you're quarter Fijian, Sammy, so you'd love
this. I am local, then I'll tell you why very soon.
But we have Viliami Kikau play one of his best games for the Bulldogs. He runs 110 metres, has three offloads, one try assist, and there's a rule that I was taught at a young age when playing rugby league, we thought was the right rule, technique, was to go for the charge downs. Now, as you make rep teams, they tell you to stop doing charge downs.
Yeah, well, why is that in rugby league?
Because if you make a play at the ball when they kick it and the opposition team gets it, it's six again.
Six again. So
it's a percentage play.
Yeah, right.
So most of the time when you do a charge down, you're most likely not going to get the ball back. But when you're as tall as Viliami Kikau and you're as fast as Viliami Kikau, you can do that because they turn into tries like this one.
Boyd again will have to kick from well inside his half. Charged down by Kikau. The Mohawks after it. How's the bounce? He gathers, stumbles and gets into the in goal and scores a second Canterbury-Bankstown try.
And remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. New South Wales jersey flag, Sammy. The Dragons beat the Cavite Silktails 50-12. So that's three losses in a row with West and Rabbitohs beating them in the first 2 weeks. We haven't announced or we haven't mentioned the Cavite Silktails because they are Jersey Flegg, not Ron Massey anymore. So we forgot that they were a part of that competition. So sorry to
at least we remembered now. And it was a special moment at the end of that game too, where they huddled up with all the Dragons boys and sung a beautiful hymn. But yeah, obviously they need to get a few wins on the board. But good luck to the Silktails for the rest of the year.
And in Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters beat Sunshine Coast Falcons 22-10 in Port Moresby. Seems like all these home teams are getting that advantage and really playing on the back of that energy that they get from their hometown. So Port Moresby showing love to PNG Hunters. And on the women's side of things, Shelley's Mackay Cutters at the top of the table. And the only undefeated team after three rounds. And that's probably why she is not joining us today.
Maybe. And to be honest, I'm not surprised with that. There's 400 Cowboys girls in that team. There's 400 of them. If they don't win that comp, something's gone wrong there.
And they're trying to make it even tougher for them by doing all the travelling. the Women's National Championships. So this took place on the Gold Coast over 4 days this weekend. Usually in May, but brought forward before the NRLW contracts are listed and finalised. The NRL coaches, Sammy, they showed up to scout out the best new talent from across Australia. I guess we'll see if any signings come out of this like last season. In Fiji.
That's a new one.
Fiji is
VNG.
This is Fiji and PNG put together. No. So Fiji and PNG joined the competition this year. PNG, they beat the ADF women and South Australia teams, but they lost to the First Nation Gems and New South Wales Country. Fiji, they beat Victoria. Close losses to First Nations Gems and Northern Territory. And they lost to the Queensland team as well. Some huge news for the Pacific, though. It was exciting that PNG player Belinda Guasaman was awarded the joint best player of the championships and won the Tani Norris medal. She also made the team of the tournament alongside fellow PNG player Melly Joe. And Sammy, a couple Fijians. I know you love your hometown.
Fiji. Love Fiji. Love Tonga. Love all the Pacific islands.
We had a couple Fijian women join that team of the tournament as well.
Yeah, they killed it. Alessi Kilawakana and Mersini Drotini.
So I'm looking forward to seeing if any of these Nigerian stars pop up in the NRLW this season. And that's it from Rugby League.
Wow, there was a lot happening in Rugby League. There's a bit going on. There was.
All week, let's just say draw one, Crusaders are 0-5, and move on to Culture Shock.
Oh, that's us. Hey, come on, mate. Give our code a bit more respect. It's, you know what? It's actually flying at the moment. It is.
It's good footy to watch.
It's good footy to watch. And you know what? In saying that as well, I think defense was optional this week in some of the games. So, which leads me to the first game, Moana Pacifica. Your cousin who sat in the chair.
Hey, you gave him the authority, approval.
But there's common sense involved. The Brumbies are in Canberra going back to back and he chooses Moana Pacifica. I love the brothers, don't get me wrong. Heart with them, but head for the tipping. I'm desperate. And he chooses Moana Pacifica. Final score, 60-21. Thank you. And that's your last time. Sopawanga. Nah, all fun and games. Hey, it was a great game down in Canberra. Obviously, it was a try-a-thon down there.
For the Brumbies.
60-21. Look, Moana, they've been playing some really good footy. And obviously, they're probably due for maybe a performance like this. It happens, and they are improving, but Moana gave a lot of penalties away, and because of that, the Brumbies in the first half, they had 65% possession and 72% territory. 9 clean line breaks for the Brumbies and only 1 for Moana Pacifica. And with those numbers, you're just chasing your tail, and they were down at halftime. But even though they were behind, I guess, on all the stats, they had some really really good moments in the game. Like when they did enter those scoring opportunities close to the line, not too far out, like they were able to play good footy. You know, Dota Kefu has mentioned him a couple of times, Tongan Sevens and Ikaletahi player Kyron Tamoifalau. He scored another great try. So that's 2 weeks in a row he's scored, received a nice wide pass off halfback Inari. It just bounced to the outside of the defender. left-hand fend and scored in the corner. And again, another Tongan guy who's killing it for them is their captain, number 8, Lotu Anisi. He scored another try, but just his leadership to stay in the fight and take those carries and try and spark his team, they're doing a great job.
Can these teams, can these players be selected for Australia and New Zealand, or is it only there?
No, they'll be selected for Tonga. They've played for Tonga. They played in the last World Cup, so they're ingrained in the red jersey. They'll be vital for them in all their test matches moving forward, which is good signs, and that's what Moana Pacifica is for. You have to be eligible to play for your country of heritage.
Yep.
Yeah, so you can't be New Zealand or Australia. You have to be selected. But, for the Brumbies, obviously it's a big scoreline, attacking flair. They just play that style that the Brumbies are known for. If you give them too many penalties, they plug the corners, they use their driving more, and they just build momentum. And you just saw how good they were and how clinical they were when they had all the stats in their favour. I think Noah Lolasio, I've mentioned him a few times. He had another strong game, and I reckon he'll be in the box seat for the Wallabies. Yeah, the Samoan number 10, still only very young. Wallabies are looking for their number 10, their go-to guy, but they haven't found him, and I think he definitely could be the person this year that will get the nod. But the game of the round, Dosso Drua Dosso. What a novel to all the Fijians out there. Now, this game had it all. Like, it was humid.
You watched this live, by the way, for all our listeners. He was there. That's why he wasn't here with us on Friday, Nijan Footy Fridays. Tell us about it.
Soaking up the atmosphere in the islands. I love going there. And I think I'm a genuine local now. Like, I jumped in a taxi to go to the hotel, and then the taxi driver was going to take a right-hand turn to go. I was like, no, mate, it's left. Turn left and then your first right at the roundabout. So I'm local now, so I'm telling taxi drivers how to get to different places. Fiji, thank you for hosting me. I love going there. And I'll be there again this week, so I'll see you over there, everyone. But, yeah, it was flooding all week. Like, there was some – like, the conditions were tough. Like, it was bucketing down every single day leading up until game day. And they're almost going to call it off because there was a lot of flooding in the villages. They were concerned that – they might not be able to get the support they were looking for from the fans because they were bogged in. They couldn't get out to the roads because they were closed. So there was all this happening in the background. But on game day, the fans showed up. It was kids round, and there were that many kids in Drua shirts, singlets. I even saw a Drua kid in an actual test match Fiji jersey. So he's obviously got that one from his cousin from somewhere. You know when you get the embroidery on the front?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was wearing that two sizes too big. But yeah, it was just beautiful to see. And the Iceman, Kemu Valentini, he slots a field goal in Golden Point to win the game for the Drua 39-36.
What was the crowd like at that moment after it goes over? Ref raises his arm, blows the whistle.
It was electric. And in the commentary box, usually Greg Clark, the great man, he has that moment to go, field goal goes over, Kemu Valentini. I got in there before him. I took his line. He said field goal. I've yelled the name, and then he's doubled up with the name after. But hey,
do you scream straight after? He's like, yeah, or you have to keep it professional?
No, I just let it out. It was that exciting. I just forgot I was even, mic'd up. It was such a great victory. Over there, you should have seen the crowd going off, because the Waratahs got out to a 10-0 lead, like straight away. And you go, oh, wow, they're on here. Mahi Vailanu scores a beautiful try from a set line out play. And then Olympic Sevens gold medalist Yosefo Masi scores a beautiful try. So then the Drua get out to 26 points to 10 at halftime. And you think, yep, Waratahs are done. They were struggling. It was humid for them. You could just tell that they were tired. Like, it was unbelievable. I keep saying it was so hot. It was humid as.
Now, you're telling me it's hot and you're in the aircon room. So you got no idea how hot it is because you're stuck in this aircon.
Do you know what?
Room.
You know, it's funny you say that. We had big Nemani Londolo in the box with us, aircon, still sweating, beaming off him. But then the Waratahs fight back 33 all at full time. 33 all. And you could just see the crowd like, oh, what's going on here? Like, You've given up 16 points.
And what's the rule when it's a draw at the end of a game? Is it golden point?
10 minutes. to get a golden point.
Just get a point.
Just get a point. And if you don't, then it's just a draw after 10 minutes. After so you only have 10 minutes of... So with about 2 minutes to go, Kemal Valentini, he steps up and nails his field goal in the most unconventional way because the draw had advantage. So he's like, oh, I'll just have a punt at it anyway. He wasn't in a great position. It's almost like a toe stab.
How far out?
He would have been about 25 metres out and he couldn't have struck it any better. Sailed over, arms go up. It felt like a grand final because the Waratahs players, I don't know if they dropped to the ground and fell over because they were just glad that the game's done or the fact, but like their hands went over their face down in disappointment. And then the Drewers just erupted, jumping on each other. And yeah, it was such a memorable game. I thought it's one of the best games I've ever seen.
Oh, that I'm being is a honest. Big call.
If I'm being honest, it was one of the best games I've ever seen. So they were my two picks. But hey, my Smokey, the Western Force, thank you. They're off.
Finally got there.
They finally got there.
But they did beat a good team.
Yeah, they beat the Reds 40-31.
40-31, that's a huge one.
So that was the men's game. Beautiful thing about that, to go back to Fiji, the Fiji Drua women's played against the Waratah women's straight after. So after that massive event, and the crowd hung around as well, and we got to watch those two teams go at it. Again, a big scoreline. Fiji drew a 160. I mean, the Waratahs won 62-21 in that game. Sarah actually played pretty well when she came off the bench. For the Tars.
Well, it's her home ground as
well. Yeah, I think
she's representing her people.
Yeah.
She's gone out there, probably not off the best performance last week from what I've heard.
Well, she was telling us on set that she probably felt a little bit rattled.
Sulking. But it's good to see how she reacted.
She reacted, bounced back.
62-21.
Yep. Killed it, and it was a good atmosphere. Some really good tries. One in particular, Metawai Thumu, the Drua centre. The Waratahs were catching them out wide a lot with their width in play. I think it was impressive how they got their passing game in their hands and the ball stuck in those type of conditions. But Metawai was sneaking in their back line, intercept, steams off 50 metres to score a try, but it just wasn't enough. I think the Fiji Drua, they've got a lot of work to do, especially around their fitness. It probably like a bit more of structure, but I've got all confidence that they'll get it right for next week. The Force beat the Reds 24-14 for the first time. The Reds, you know, they were in the grand final last year and now they're 0-2, so it's not good signs for them. And the Brumbies beat the Rebels 24-22. Rebels still only on one win in Super W history. And a shout out to my cousin, Alana Sikometi, who made her starting debut for the Brumbies. So,
The Sikometi family.
The Sikometi, yeah, that's Billy's first cousin. So my mum and their dad are first cousins. On the
Name dropper.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's all for rugby league and rugby union news. And Sammy, I've got a pretty cool experience for you in Culture Shock.
Culture Shock.
Yes, Culture Shock, our new segment. This is where we take you to a different part of the Pacific each week and we learn something new about the rich cultures that we love to celebrate. Last week, I blew your mind, T, with some facts about language in PNG. How many are we talking about over there?
700.
800.
800.
800. What have you got for us this week?
Well, Sammy, I'm taking us to Vanuatu. Now, last week you asked for our brothers over at Nija Daily, Michael Chow, asked for a bit of a helping hand. So I thought I'd reach out to his partner in crime, Jacob Maguire. And we've done a bit of research and I looked.
He done a bit of research, but anyway.
Yeah. No, I said, do you know anything about
that's not research.
I done my research on Vanuatu and I've realized that they do the land diving over there.
Ooh.
So I'm going to leave a little bit of the explanation for Jacob.
Yeah, so a fun fact for Vanuatu is that Vanuatu is credited as being the place where bungee jumping was invented. It all centers around a ceremony from the island of Pentecost called the Nago, also referred to as land diving. Now, if you search up land diving in your search engine, you might see a few pictures. What you might see is a huge wooden tower that may be about 30 meters tall, which is 100 feet tall, which, you know, young men and men jump up of. It's pretty hectic looking. The Nuggle is a sort of a coming of age ceremony around that area of Pentecost, but also has sort of components tied to, you know, fertility and making sure your harvest is good. Basically, on the day of the ceremony, what you might see is, you know, a lot of dancing, a lot of feasting. The young men or the young kids, they'll jump off from the bottom of the tower. And as the day goes on, basically jumpers will go from spots higher and higher until you get to the top of the tower. Now, when they're jumping off the tower, unlike bungee jumping, you're not supposed to bounce and come back off, come back up. You're supposed to, yeah, basically hit the ground. So the men, they'll tie like vines to their ankles. And then basically the idea is that you jump off and the vine absorbs most of the impact before you hit the ground. So you want the vine to basically absorb that just as you're about to hit the ground. And then you've got like a landing surface there. The towers are usually set up on the top of a hill. So you sort of, when you land, you hit the dirt sort of on the side of the hill. But yeah, but it's pretty hectic. Vanuatu, and that's where bungee jumping comes from.
There you go.
You land and you just hit the dirt. You hit the dirt. You don't bounce back up. You actually hit the dirt.
Yep, so it's called Nuggle, as Jacob mentioned, but I'll paint the picture of a tall tower that's made out of bamboo sticks and then vines that are attached to the top of it. And there's no spring. So what they'll do, they'll jump out so that the vines stretch out a little bit, but you're not bouncing back up once you hit the bottom or you're in air, you're whacking the ground. And like you said, it's a rite of passage or a way of symbolizing your manhood.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be considered a man in Vanuatu, that's for sure. I would not be, one, I'm scared of heights. Two, I'm scared of heights. And three, there's no OH&S there, occupational health and safety with those vines. I just wouldn't be trusting it. But that is impressive. No wonder why the men of Vanuatu are so tough.
So you're shocked?
I am shocked. You've
That's
got me.
Why it's
and it was invented there.
Shock. Yes.
Yeah. Wow, wee. Well done, T.
Well, next week, let's head over to another part of the Pacific, Niue.
Oh, yes.
We've got a few good friends that are from
Niueans. Yep, I'll be hitting up them for sure.
Give me something special for next week.
Oh, I like it, T.
Nesian Footy with Sam and T.
Well, listeners, we are in for a special treat. We have a young superstar. She made her debut for the Wallaroos at the age of 18. She currently plays with the Brumbies in the Super W competition. And definitely, she's not going to rugby league. Is that right?
Yet.
Nah, she's not going. But this is Faitala Moleka. She's been killing it the last 2 years, and she is on our show right now. Faitala, welcome to Nesian Footy.
Thank you for having me, everyone.
I said, you know, first question off the bat, I've walked in to, you know, prepare for the show. Obviously, we knew that you were coming on. And our producer goes, oh, yeah, we've got Samoan Faitala Moleka on. I said, no, she's Tongan. He goes, are you 100% sure? I was like, mate, I'm willing to throw hands for this.
He was going
to
cry.
I was about to cry. I was like, mate, she's Tongan. Her sister played for us in New South Wales Tonga. She was at our Tongan jersey presentation. If she's not Tongan, then I'm not here. And then he goes, oh, put these headphones on. And says, hi, I'm Faitala. Both parents are Samoan. And I was like, oh, my goodness. What? Can you explain to me, the New South Wales Tonga president for sports, your culture?
Yeah, funny story. So, well, my whole life I thought I was full Samoan. That's what my parents told me. And then when they asked if we were Tongan, my dad was like, yeah, on my dad's side. And I was like, oh, yeah. I've been telling everyone I'm full Samoan 100%. Samoa till I die. And then he was like, yeah, on your dad's side, really distant.
So your coaches at Hill Sports, I'm assuming at the time, Teki Tuipulotu and his brother Benny, they would say, oh, yeah, dad's half Tongan, half Samoan. So
what did that feel like when you thought you were full Samoan and then you got told you were part Tongan as well.
I feel like my whole life was a lie.
I'm thinking you just embrace it. I'll be like, yes, finally, I'm Tongan. How good's that? I could brush the Samoan side.
I think she was
low-key right?
filthy.
My whole life, I was making fun of my Tongan friends, and here my dad says I'm Tongan now, so.
That's the best.
That's unreal.
Well, speaking of your background, your culture, can you tell us a little bit about your upbringing and the way you were raised?
I think it was like a typical Islander family where family is like the center. God is also the center of our family. And I think the principles and the values that we were taught at a young age, you know, just helped me to be basically who I am today, how I present myself towards like to the world and to the public. So, I come from humble beginnings. I come from a big family, being so grateful and thankful towards my parents and my family for the support they've given me. I know my family will back me all the way and that they're always here for me. So, yeah.
And are you a part of a big family?
Yes. I've got how many siblings? I think I got 9 siblings.
So if you have to think about it, you must have a lot.
I was like, this number's going to be big.
Yeah, so I've got 9 siblings, but we've all grown older now, but it was always a full house. I think in COVID, we used to, when it was COVID, because I had so many siblings, we'd go out to play a game of touch. I think every now and then the cops would pull up and think that we all come from, probably the neighbours looking at us and calling the cops thinking that we're breaking the rules, but yeah, it's crack up.
Where do you sit in the 9?
I think I'm around the middle, yeah. I think third youngest, me.
It's good to know you're confident in saying where you are within your family dynamics. Yeah, somewhere in the middle. It doesn't matter. After 3, you lose count. So you mentioned touch footy with the siblings. Is that how you got into playing rugby, just by playing footy with all your brothers and sisters?
Yeah, so I only grew up with one of my sisters. So it was only the 2 of us and the rest were boys. So, and my dad just used to grab the footy and say, let's play tackle footy outside. Whoever cries first is a sore loser, so so no crying there. Probably end up in a little scuffle, a little punch on, but hey, that's how we get tougher, eh?
Before we go down your football journey, I want to bring it back a little bit. You mentioned you went to a performing arts school from year 7 to 10 in Emu Plains, which is based in Penrith, but then you also mentioned your faith, and is that where your music side comes from? When you and your siblings went to church, are you a big musical family?
Yeah, 100%. Probably say my brother is the most musically talented, but, you know, me and some of my other siblings, we grew up in our church band, so I feel like that's where our music ability started. Our dad being really strict on being on key and not singing off key, so in the time of my life, I feel like I could really crack this. And then so I went to a performing arts school. Didn't really work out, so I went to a sports school, and here I am now.
Were you singing off key? Is that why you end up going to Hills Sports? Was that the reason?
Let's keep that for another time.
Oh, nice. So just with your family, so it's very talented with sport, music side of things. So would you sing at like all the churches on Sundays?
Yeah, so yeah, my dad especially, he was like the leader of the band, so, you know, it wasn't really a choice, but hey, I'm so grateful that he put us in there. We got taught a lot of things, just doing everything at 100%, the best of our abilities, and, you know, that's where I started. I think singing was my first gift from God, and to be able to use that gift to glorify him. And now that I have rugby with me, it's another thing that I can show my faith towards the people. So I'm, yeah, truly grateful that I was put in there, but also big learnings from there as well. I still love to sing, but, you know, I got a career out of being good at all right at rugby, so put more effort into that.
Well, it's good that you I appreciate you offering up to give us a bit of a couple of bars. Is that all right? Can you sing us something for the show? So thanks for agreeing to that.
We're actually looking for a new intro.
Oh, nice. So let's just go on to your rugby union stuff now. Like, so you went to Hills Sports. You're pretty much a teenager when you made your debut for the Wallaroos. You How did you get from pretty much high school within 12 months, you're playing against Fiji for your debut?
I think it was the clubs that I started playing at. So I started at Blacktown Scorpions, and they were a great platform, like a junior club, to bring up young athletes like me. And they had great coaches with the likes of Teki Tuipulotu and especially Ben Tuipulotu, you know, who were really nurturing towards us young kids, us youth. And then once I got a little bit older, maybe 16, I moved to Sydney Uni, and there I was like able to train and be coached and looked after by like current and like previous Wallaroo girls, such as like Illy, M Chance, Piper Duck, just to name a few. But you know, I think I slowly grew into the environment of slowly learned what a professional environment was through those girls. And I think without them and without the clubs that I am playing at right now, I don't think I would have had such an easy transition into going into Brumbies and then going into the Wallaroos.
Ah, that's cool. How did it feel when you first made your Super W debut?
It was hot, eh? We're in Fiji. It was so humid. So great. Like, it felt so good, but also I was dying. But I think I'm part Fijian too, eh?
Yeah, me too. So that's all good. We're the same there.
Yeah, because I made my debut for Brumbies in Fiji, and then on my Wallaroos debut, I was versing Fiji. So I was like, maybe I think I'm Fijian too. It was such a heartwarming and wholesome feeling when I debuted for the Brumbies, so it was good. And it was around people that, you know, I know would who supported me, and around a great and like team environment. So really grateful.
Did your family travel over to Fiji to watch your first game?
No, they just watched it on Stan Sport.
Oh, I would have felt sorry for them, because they would have had to hear my mate's voice over here doing the commentary.
Come on, mate. Everyone loves hearing me over there. But am I right in saying that you were on a train and trial still? Like, even though you made your debut, like, you actually weren't full-time, you're still sort of trying to cement a contract spot there at the Brumbies?
Yeah, just because, you know, I was pretty young and there's other girls like above me that were performing better than me at the time, but, you know, just had to stick to it, trust the process, and luckily, you know, I did well in trainings and in games, and they're like, yeah, we'll give you a chance. So took it wholeheartedly, and yeah.
I forgot one question before we go to the rugby union international level. Rugby league, the most important game of all.
Next.
You play rugby league as a junior, and why did the union shift?
I don't know, eh? So I started league first. I had no idea what union was, let alone 15s. I only knew what 7s was because Australia was pretty good at it. And I didn't know there was a competition for the girls for 7s as well. So at the time when I was playing league, I only thought, well, me and my family only thought that there was league, so we went there. And Ben Tuipulotu, he was in the Minchinberry. He was coaching the Minchinberry side, and I was playing for St. Mary's. Big
St.
rivalry.
Mary's Saints.
Yeah.
That explains that a lot of talent comes out of St. Mary's Saints, and, you know, you're probably one of the first league players that have gone over to Union and made Sammy smile, because it's usually the other way around.
Yeah, so I was at St. Mary's Saints, played a couple of games, and we were versing Minchinberry. One of my teammates, one of my good friends, she's related to Ben, and they needed numbers for their sevens tournament. And they saw me play, and they were asking if I wanted to fill in the numbers. And I was like, yep, I'll give it a try. Played my first game against Manly, I think it was. And I think I really enjoyed it, and I was like, okay, This is cool. I'll play. And then played sevens from there, made some junior state teams. And then when they asked me to play 15s, I was like, okay. I was like, yeah, just go with the flow, see how it goes. And then, yeah, that's how I got into union.
And then there you go. You're playing for the Wallaroos.
Wallaroos, yeah. Beauty. Well, you could have fooled me that you had a league background because you're taken to the game so easy, especially in the position that you're playing in. You played fullback. You debuted for Fiji at fullback, if that's correct. Is that right?
No, I debuted at 10.
At 10. And, you know, playing in that position, did you just feel comfortable straight away to be a ball player in rugby?
Well, I knew I liked to have ball in hand and to create space, so I feel like it just came naturally to me. But because, you know, as you can see, I'm not the biggest and strongest of players, so got to use my brain around the park. So, yeah, I think 10 was probably the only open position. Otherwise, it would be the bench. So,
humble.
And then from there, so you play a few games, Super Rugby, Super W, and then you go and make your debut for the Wallaroos. What was that experience like?
I feel like it went so fast, to be honest. It was surreal because I went straight from losing the semi-finals last year and then going straight into camp next 2 weeks. So didn't really have time to, like, really take it in. And the fact that I was, like, in contention of actually debuting for my country. So I don't really think too much about it. I kind of just go with the flow. If it doesn't go well, it doesn't go well. But it went really well here, and I had the chance to debut and kind of seal a spot kind of for the Wallaroos. So it was really good.
And did you play at fullback?
Yeah, so this one I played at fullback.
How was that, going from shifting from 10 to fullback?
You have a lot of time when you're a fullback. A lot of time, just, yeah. It was a lot different in terms of space, and it's more of a – 10 is more of – I feel like 10 for me, I'm more of thinking about other people. But 15, I kind of get to play for myself, get to do, like, showcase my skills in, yeah, to make me look better, I guess.
You know, it makes sense. Is there any that you prefer?
At the moment, I think I'm liking 10, just in terms of being in control of the game. But I'm still learning. But 15, it's a nice position where I can just take a breath and kind of just focus on myself on the field.
Yeah, very nice.
Are you sure you're the age that you're saying you are?
Very mature, right? Isn't she? Well, yeah, before that debut, T and I were actually out there with that Pacific Sports show. And as we're walking up to the stadium, we saw your whole family out there with the banners and everything. They were so excited that they were going to watch you play out there in the gold jersey. Like, for yourself, running out onto that field, can you take us through the thoughts that you had while putting on the jersey, singing the anthem, and knowing that it was in Sydney and your family were in the crowd?
Yeah, again, I think it was just like, the moment I was like, I made it, and like my family's here to experience. I think when we're singing the national anthem, I think that's when it really hit me, when I saw my family just in the crowd. I think I started crying because, you know, all the sacrifices that not me as an individual, but me and my family especially made to get me here. I think it really just hit me in one go, and like right then and there, you know, I just didn't want to disappoint them and give them a bad game. So I was like,
that's right, you can say that. Sammy says it all the time. No.
But yeah, it was such a full circle moment for me and my family, like starting from pretty young, and then especially my parents, I would say, driving me to games everywhere, taking me to trainings at Sydney Uni, peak hour, driving through the city. So just the little things that I was so grateful for that I was thinking about putting on the jersey, singing the national anthem. Like, without those little things, I don't think the big outcome would have happened. So, yeah.
Man, it sounds like such a special moment. And I remember that day when we met your family at the front, and they just looked so proud of you. Like, they just, with their shirts and the banners, and, you know, they all coming in, they were all just vibing. So it was such a special moment to be there and witness myself as well. So, speaking of your family, seems like you're a very close group, close family. What's it like having to move and move to play footy?
I think it wasn't too much or too hard of a shift, just because, you know, with a big Islander family, you've got family everywhere, so.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah. Also, I think I was kind of used to being away from my family because when I was younger, we used to have to go to, like, rugby camps and, like, just go different states, go Queensland for some training camps. And so the move here, it was a bit hard knowing that it was for a longer period of time. But I feel like I had great support from my family in Canberra. So they made the transition really well. And the team as well. So it was kind of like my team is basically my second family, so it was good. Wasn't too hard.
What do you miss from home? I remember when I moved away, I missed my mum's cooking.
Cooking.
What do you miss?
Yeah. I think that was already in my head. I feel like I miss the food. It's more individual. Like, you got to look after yourself more here. But probably what I miss home is probably the company, especially from my siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just being around them, it's a lot quieter up here, so it's good. But sometimes I miss the noise and miss all the chaos.
Yeah, one thing that we love to speak about with our guests, especially when they have to move away from home such a young age, is the fact that you've got to change some habits and behaviours that you know that you can do in your family settings. But to go to that next level, you know, especially around food and being professional, you have to change. What did you have to, I guess, change in your start of your career to get to where you are now?
Probably first get a license. My parents weren't there anymore to drive me around to training. So I think a license was a good start. But also I think management of just like my time and money and like what I do. Like, I know school took a lot of my time back at home, but like once I finished school, you know, just using my time wisely and my money wisely because, you know, again, my parents weren't there to provide, so.
Had to grow up fast. I love them answers. Last question for me. Now that you know that you're part Tongan, does that give you the license to go and eat horse?
What are you laughing to?
Do you like horse?
It's a delicate cuisine.
Wait, let her answer the question. She might have already tried it.
Oh, I've been eating it long before I knew I was Tongan, so.
Really? Oh, yeah. The secret ingredients is in the horse.
That's it.
Sorry, Sam shared that on our show last week. He shared the recipe of what was the process of making horse. And
succulent was a just couldn't, word
I
couldn't, I used.
It didn't sit well with me, but apparently it makes you stronger and faster.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, probably liking for this season.
Nice. And for me as well, like in terms of, where do you want to take your career? At such a young age, you've achieved so much. World Cups are coming up. The opportunity to even change your eligibility at some point to play for Samoa or Tonga. Now, are they in the plans for the distant future, or are you just sort of focusing on now and see where it comes?
I think it's more just focusing on now. This season especially. We're coming off a great season last year, so just trying to build and stay consistent with my performance, I think, as well. But, yeah, in the future, haven't really thought of it. But, hey, let's see where it goes.
I like that little fishing line you put out there, Sammy. Yeah. Samoa, but maybe Tonga, yeah. You choose.
And for a 19-year-old, yeah, we definitely didn't know what we were looking forward to in the future. So, but for yourself, Faitala, it's been unreal to have you on and just getting a little insight into how you prepare, your upbringing, knowing that you've got vocals, which is good. I'm sure we'll hear it at some point when we get you back on later in the future. But we wish you all the best with the rest of the season and obviously moving into Test Match footy. So much love, and I can't wait to watch you play.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Seki.
This is Nation Footy. Knowledge.
Oh, what's this tattoo going to look like on my bum?
On your bum?
It's 6'3".
Oh, yeah, 6'3".
I've got some catching up to do. I know it's early days.
Yeah.
They did once call me the comeback king. No, they didn't. But I will start my comeback today.
Nation knowledge. Here we go. It's my turn to ask you the questions.
Yes, for our new listeners, he will ask me three questions, one from the past, the present, and one just out of the box, any topic.
Yep.
And we are keeping a tally. The score is 6-3 to Sammy. Loser gets a Nijin footy tattoo on their bum at the end of the season.
Yes, and I've got a little bit of a Fijian theme these first two questions, T.
Oh, so of course you do, mate.
Just coming back from the beautiful islands. First one, Kemal Valentini. He won the game for the Drua over in Fiji. How many times has he won the game for the Drua from his boot in Fiji?
You called him the Iceman today, so it has to be more than once.
Has to be more than once, exactly.
Close games. Man, I want to go three. And looking at your eyes, I'm going two.
Two? You should have stuck with three, my friend.
Oh,
three. I winked at you as well. Just to, wink.
But I didn't know that he'd get three in.
Yeah, he got three. Two off the tee. And then last week.
To win the game.
To win the game.
So siren done.
Siren done.
Wow.
He stepped great work. Up. Yeah, mate. It's impressive. Okay. Into the future. Here we go. Who is the Drua playing this week in Fiji?
In Fiji.
In Fiji.
Okay, so they just played the Tars. They have also beaten the Crusaders over there.
Yep.
They lost to the Chiefs. So it's only a number of these, probably like five or so teams left. We're going the Reds, Highlanders, the Blues.
Ooh.
I'll go Highlanders.
That's incorrect. It's the Western Force, my old team, there this week.
Oh, mate. You can tell that you made these questions up in the lift on the way
no,
up
I
here.
Didn't. I didn't. I did. But this one will be all right, okay? A lot of thought went into this one. Vanuatu Rugby League, okay?
Here we go.
They've had a massive sign-in. His name is Thomas Wilber. Signed with a rugby league team over there from another sport. He's been given special dispensation to play rugby league. He's a big unit. What sport is he coming from?
What's his name?
His name is Thomas Wilber.
Thomas Wilber.
Wilber.
And
he's going to make his return to the rugby league field. This other sport is famous over there.
Man.
And he's had to ask permission to leave his current sport to go play rugby league in Vanuatu.
I don't want to say rugby union because that'd be too simple.
Yep. Not rugby union. I'll give you that hint. It's not rugby union.
All right. I'm going to go. You said he's big. I'm going to go volleyball.
When you're saying big volleyball, I'm thinking if you go big, you're going weightlifting.
Oh,
he's a weightlifter.
Weightlifting, you have to get approval to move on from weightlifting to play rugby league.
No, because he was in season. Like, he's like had to, like,
and where did you get this information from?
Facebook. It's legit on the Vanuatu Rugby League website. On Facebook.
Well done.
You're like, yeah, oh, and that's no points for T this week. The score remains 6-3. And that's our time for today for Nijin Footy. Oh, remember, there's recent chats with NRL megastar Xavier Coates and Payne Haas. And plenty more, which you can listen back to wherever you get your podcast. Chin up, T. There's always next week.
Ka kite to everyone listening. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.